Listeners and viewers, welcome back to episode 2 with Will Robbins at Bridgestone Tires. We geeked out about the technology behind Bridgestone's 4 business units and their product planning portfolio. And now, one of the things I observed in the course of this series, this little mini series we're doing on Bridgestone, is everyone I talk to is super passionate about the company. So here we have Will, and I'm going to put him on the spot a little bit. Will, you were with Bridgestone for 20 years, and then you stepped away, and then a year or two later, you stepped right back into it. You must know the good, the bad, and why did you come back, and what does it say about a culture? What is driving all you guys to be so passionate about Bridgestone? There are Bridgestone, you know, I don't want to say cultists, but I mean, a pretty rigorous passion for the company.
Yeah, I like to think that I just took a brief sabbatical for a few months to go, you know, see the world and then come back. But in all seriousness, you know, I had an interesting opportunity. You know, you come into those kind of forks in the road in your career where it's like, I like what I'm doing, but what is that next step look like? And personally, I'm super passionate about the automotive industry, but specifically grassroots motorsports. And I had the opportunity to go and, you know, spend a little bit of time working at a company that does automotive aftermarket, supporting that. And it was really interesting to get that perspective. And my thought was like, oh, I'm doing what I love. This is going to be great. And I really missed the tire industry. And I really specifically missed Bridgestone. And so after a couple of months, I began talking to some of my old colleagues back here, and they identified the opportunity to come and, previously doing just commercial, step into a role where I would be able to do commercial and consumer. And so as part of that, you know, I really took into account the people and the culture at Bridgestone of like, this is where I want to be long term. This is where I belong. And I would say if I look at Bridgestone, you know, I mentioned before that I like seeing how concrete what we do is, how real it is every single day. You know, I get in my truck, it's got Bridgestone tires on it. It gets me from where I am to where I'm going to go and safely every single time. That makes a difference to me. What I love about the culture here, though, is there's this balance of expertise with humility that I haven't seen anywhere else. And there's folks that, you know, I said before, but the tire industry kind of keeps people kind of understand what it means to be a part of, you know, mobility for so many industries every day. And it gets kind of addictive, and you meet more people like this. And it's just, as part of Bridgestone, I love this idea that you can be both an expert, but also be humble. And, you know, the number one question that I'd say we ask ourselves here is like, what are we missing? What can we learn from our customers? What can we do better? You know, this spirit of, you know, Japanese spirit of Kaizen, of continuous improvement, of always looking for ways to be better. It's top to bottom here. And I think between that and just getting to work in this industry and the culture that we've got with all these experts is really what pulled me back in. And, you know, I don't regret a minute of it.
Oh, it sounds like it was a really good fit, and you had an opportunity to explore other options, and now you're back and it's another good fit. I want to go back and dig into this humility thing, because I remember a milestone moment in my career where I stepped away from an industry and then I stepped back in 5 years later. And when I stepped back, the world had changed. I was in the textbook business, and we were in the print world providing physical textbooks to colleges across the country and doing quite well. In the 5 years that I left and returned, the business was massively moving toward digital solutions, moving away from a handheld textbook to an online textbook or some kind of e-learning tool or support mechanism to get the knowledge and experience in the classroom. I remember talking to people as I was being recruited back into the industry, and they were talking so confidently about the business. And I found that somewhat troubling and concerning, because how can you feel so confident about what you're doing when the world underneath you has changed? I think that's a bigger issue with a lot of companies going through disruption. Humility, it seems to me, brings with it this opportunity to bring others in, to make sure you don't close the door to different points of view, to make sure, I mean, that's where diversity also comes into play, because you get people that just think differently and have different lived experiences, and they come into a meeting and they're not thinking about that the way you are, because their lived experience is fundamentally different. And so it seems to me that that humility can be a real driver of innovation, because it level sets everyone and says, you know what? You have a lot of expertise, but you are not done learning. You are not done grabbing more information and getting more input before we make decisions that are going to impact customers. You know, how would you respond to that?
Oh, I would say absolutely. I think that spirit of humility and then using that to drive curiosity about what's happening. And you know, I mentioned before the idea of the Skembutsu Gemba, you've got to go, you've got to see, and you've got to talk to a lot of different groups of people. You know, between the different business units we have, there's very few vehicles that we don't cover. So you can imagine talking to somebody that operates a giant mining site versus buys construction equipment, very different people, very different businesses. But we've got to go and talk to them to understand what are the priorities of somebody that's, you know, running a multi-billion dollar operation when somebody that's, you know, spending a couple of thousand dollars a year, maybe on tires, or maybe every couple of years, to just a normal consumer, that the main thing they want is just to not think about when they get in their car every day, what's going to happen. So it's all these different perspectives. And so we spend a lot of time talking to customers, consumers, going to trade shows. You know, I do a lot of grassroots motorsports, so I'm always at the track talking to people about how's this working for you? Like, here's what I think you need. Is that really what you need? And so just continuing to ask those questions and not assuming that we know the answers is just, it's really critical. And it's a deep part of the culture here.
Yeah, that's interesting to hear that. I think the other part of the culture that I want to understand a little bit about is in this world of disruption, and in manufacturing specifically, we are disrupting the work that's being done with new applications, new technologies, new tools. Never before has it come as much and as quickly as it's coming today. And so many people in the manufacturing and the tech, in the advanced manufacturing tech world, are saying the same thing. We need talent today with the skills for tomorrow that don't even exist as yet. And so you're building a workforce, and as an executive in the organization that's seeing a big part of the portfolio and a big part of the staff on a regular basis, as you fuel your talent strategy at Bridgestone going forward, I know I'm taking you a little bit out of your area of expertise here, but in general, tell me a little bit about, you know, how you guys are looking. I mean, because as you're doing your future roadmaps, you have to take into account, we're going to have different people doing this. EVs mean a totally different set of people working on vehicles, you know? So how is that going to impact you guys?
Exactly. And a lot of what we do is we do a lot of collaboration with the customers that I mentioned. So our customers are kind of the front lines of how we learn about what's going on in the market. And so especially the larger, more sophisticated customers, they kind of have a vision of, you know, we all see the market going in a certain way. They know that they're going to have to change the face of how retail may operate because of different vehicles or different demographics. They're going to be a part of that. And so part of what we do is collaborate with them on what data do we have? What data do we need to go get? What data do we develop together that we can use to help understand where the market is going? And then we kind of back into, okay, well, we think we need this, this, and this. Maybe we've got 2.5 of those things or 1.5 of those things. How are we going to build that third thing? And like, to your point, like, how do we go find the people that can help build that? So, you know, I know AI is a big buzzword right now across a lot of different industries, but for us, it's how do we adopt things like that for looking at consumer trends in the industry to help us uncover insights that, you know, individually might be difficult. It's like, so we've got to go out and find people that can help us build the tools to do that. And so there's a lot of that that's kind of in the works behind the scenes, but it absolutely is a very different demographic in terms of the talent and the skill sets that we need to be successful today than 20 years ago when I started.
Right. We see that a lot here in Detroit. We see a lot of companies that are just scrambling for talent. And, you know, when you're scrambling for talent, what you identify is that, wow, first of all, you start hiring other people from other businesses. and you try to pluck off the best ones and make it attractive for them to come over. But then at a certain point, you've done that. Now you have to grow talent somehow. And so you have to build capacity for that. And it sounds like you've been really working and diligent about that aspect of it. Well, it has been such a treat talking to you about Bridgestone. It's an exciting time. Thank you for sharing your expertise. Any last thoughts that you'd like to share with our listening and viewing audience?
No, just appreciate the opportunity. And hopefully folks have gotten a little bit of an insight into how important the tire industry is in our day-to-day lives. It may not be something that everybody thinks about, but it's definitely out there in a lot of the things that we do. So just appreciate the opportunity.
Well, we've really enjoyed having you here. This is Ron Stefanski on Disrupt Ed. We've been talking to Will Robbins and we've been talking to Rachel Pote. You're going to hear a few more episodes on the world of tires because we love to geek out here. And we especially love to geek out with companies that are reinventing themselves. And I love this notion of humility that's driving the bus here, so to speak, that's really moving this organization forward because they're not missing bets. They're looking around and saying, what else can we be doing? How else can we be improving? And I think that is one of the key tickets to success as we move forward in this highly disrupted world. So, Will, thank you for joining us. To our listening and viewing audience, you know the drill. We need you to get disrupted with us. Come on board. Give us your feedback. Tell Will what you think. Tell me what you think. And keep coming back for more content. We will be back to you in another episode of Disrupt Ed. Until then, thanks for listening.